into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but as a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, mist that is visible for a limited little while and then disappears into thin air. You ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and do this or do that. But as it is, you boast in your presumption and your self-conceit, and all such boasting is wrong. That's pretty strong. I'm not trying to beat up anybody in here, but you get the gist that, you know, we think we're going to do certain things. And some of us are younger and some of us are older here, and maybe you don't know where you're going to do or what you're going to do yet. So counsel is really important. But, you know, I didn't realize until I really got into this that there is a process to get counsel. And, you know, you can go to somebody and get some advice, and we have people around us that have wisdom and people that has more experience, and it's good to go and get that from different individuals. And that's one way of getting counsel. But I want to give you another way to get counsel, because I believe that a lot of people in here, I'm one of them, that I continually need counsel. And it's not something that ever stops. And when you have a life that lives that way and you realize that you can't do without it, it's got to be your heir, and then you can make your advancement a little bit quicker. Because I think the Holy Spirit always wants to accelerate our training. He wants to get us to move fast. It says he's light. He moves faster than the speed of light. But I really believe that he wants to grow us fast. It says, I believe in Malachi, that in the last days that the calves shall leap from the stall. Well, I didn't realize this, but calves, maybe some of your farmers in here, I don't know, but have had a calf. But apparently calves get a special diet to cause them to grow fast. Now, if that's not true, I just made it up, but you get the illustration. But I did hear that once, and I don't know who said it and who preached it, but I did hear that, so that's in me. But that's just it. And so we don't really know what our future is. And so to make some kind of declaration, and, you know, I knew that when I was being led to come down here in 1982, I was set up in Cincinnati. I'd had a career in the sport of diving, and I was graduated, and I still had some left into me. And but I believed in the Lord. I didn't really walk with the Lord totally. I knew a lot. I spent time with him. I spent time in the woods. I read kind of the Bible, but I really wasn't into the Bible just yet. But I kind of didn't realize at the time, but I was learning to hear his voice. And those times that I was alone, and I had some people that I was close to that passed, and you know how that is. You go through a grieving process, and it draws you close to the Lord because you know that's where they are, you know, and you want to sometimes be where they are, you know. I wasn't ready to leave the world yet, but, you know, that's kind of what was going on inside of me at the time. And so I moved down here in 82, and, you know, the only thing I knew through my prayer was the Lord was going to fill me with his power, and I didn't really understand what that was. I always believed in miracles. I went to a Presbyterian church, and you know, I would come in, and I'd see that cross in the front, you know, and I was, oh, there, you know, there's power. There's something power about God. And the pastor took an interest in me, and I don't quite know why, but he did. And sometimes he'd come up, and I would do the benediction, or you know, I was in the choir, but I kind of goofed off in the choir, to be honest with you. It's always suppressed laughter, so I always tried to get the guy next to me to laugh, and it was just kind of a game we played. And you know, so I think that's why the pastor kind of corralled me a little bit. And so, you know, that was just my life, you know, and there were certain things that stuck with me that God was teaching me. And one of them was I was standing in line in the choir and ready to go into the service. You know, we had little robes on, you know, I had a little thing that came down here that you put on, you know, and I think my mom was proud or whatever, and it came in. And so I remember sitting there ready to go in. I looked over and there was the books kind of like right there, different books. And there was one book that stuck out at me. It says, "You can't con God." It never always stuck with me, you know, because sometimes, you know, you ever try to con God? I mean, you know, you're going through something, and you start crying, "Oh, Lord," and, you know, you think, "Well, I'll throw this prayer up, I'll throw that prayer up, and I'll try to manipulate the Lord." And, you know, I remember one time I was crying and sobbing, and I just heard the Spirit of God, "Are you done yet?" I mean, it took away all the fun I was having on this pity party that I didn't realize what it was, you know. And I go, "Oh, God, I'm just all alone, you don't understand." Yeah, it's just you and the Almighty. It kind of straightened out my theology right there. So you may think you're alone, but you're not alone. But he already knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And so I'm like, sometimes I get messed up with that. Like, you know what I'm going to say before I say it. Is this really a conversation, you know? I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. But he knows what's going on inside you, and he knows your needs, and he does hear your cries. And he will meet those needs. He'll not only heal you, but he'll bring about that blessing that you need. And so I just, we can just count on that. But, this scripture just says it all out, that we, us people in our lives, and it's not just us, a lot of unbelievers, they have these plans, and, like you were sharing, you had some plans, and it just, the Lord has a way of messing up our plans. So coming down here, he did what he said. He filled me with his power. I didn't understand it, really didn't understand it, but that he showed it to me, and one day, I would be moving in it. Now, I don't feel like I'm moving in as much as I want to move in it. He had put some kind of desire inside of you that really, it's like there's something inside of us. Can't quite get it out, but it's down in there. And we want to have that experience. And we want to have to see that. And I want to give you some encouragement. That's going to happen. Don't let go of your dreams. There's some people in here, you've stopped dreaming. You think, well, I'm older now, or I had a dream a while back, but I kind of left that or whatever. But God wants you to still dream. I think Moses started his ministry when he was 80. So, maybe you guys haven't started yet. Maybe I haven't started. I don't know. I can't evaluate myself. I don't know about you. You ever feel like you can't really evaluate your life? Like only God really knows everything. And I have those conversations, and I'm sure you do too. Now, let's go over to Jeremiah 32 verse 19. I'm going to be covering some scriptures. I hope I get through this. I don't want to keep everybody here too long. Jeremiah 32 verse 19. Jeremiah 32 verse 19. It says, "Great are you in counsel and in mighty deeds, who eyes are open to all of our ways of the sons of men, to reward or to repay each one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Great in counsel. And he's saying that to you, and he's saying it to me, I am great in counsel. Now we know that, we know that, right? We know that. But sometimes we know things about God, but the way we behave and how we do things, we don't understand the greatness in the counsel. We don't receive that, even though sometimes we ask for it. But God wants us to walk that out on a daily basis. It's not something that just you need when you need to have some advice or you've got some direction, you're praying for something. It's something that has to be practiced on a daily basis, so you begin to get familiar with it. So it becomes more of a reflex and a routine versus just pulled upon kind of when you need it. But you need it every day, because what I don't realize sometimes is my encounter with everybody through the day, if I can be turned on, if I can be sensitive, I lean on that. I want to try to make my words seasoned, The conversations are more than conversations. And God uses you that all the way. I mean, constantly doing it. You can tell that's part of you. I can just tell, it's just on you. So, that's something that we need to realize. Now, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, I'm just going to read it. It says, purposes and plans are established by counsel. So you can start something and, you can do something, but that word establish is different. The purpose and the plans are established. It's like a foundation. It becomes like rock. It becomes solid. And it's established. And something that God brings into existence, it's incontrovertible if I'm saying that. It's not up for dispute. It's not, you can't argue it. It just is. And so that's where he wants to bring us to, that we might rely on counsel, that our purpose and the plans that we have become established, and not something that kind of we're on a journey towards, although there always is a journey, but it gets to a point where it has to be established. And I'm sure you and I have been had experience chasing the wind sometime. And, it just something doesn't get established, and then we realize that, we're not supposed to be in the military, and then we try to play the drums. And we realize it's not the drums, And I'm sorry, brother, I'm not picking on you. It's just you always seem to give me the word before I come up, and I just really appreciate that. I don't know, I mean, I think I pick on Paul Stain all the time, but I'm just glad that you're here. It's not picking, it's just you laid that foundation. You established what was set here tonight. I had a plan and a purpose, but you established it, so thank you so much. Amen. Let's go to another. So the counsel, I want you to hear this. Counsel, it's guidance, it is direction, and it's instruction. It has those three elements in it. Say it again. It has guidance, it has direction, and it has instruction. Now, it may come out first as instruction, or it may come out as guidance. It may come out first as direction. But you're always going to have those three elements in counsel. And I want to say that to you because you need to recognize it when it comes from the Lord. You know, we're learning to hear His voice. I'm learning to hear His voice still. It's not, I don't have it. I haven't arrived. I have a degree. We all have a degree. But when we need to recognize His voice, and when He speaks out of the realm of the Spirit in terms of counsel, it has those three elements, so it's easy to identify when it's Him speaking to us. And when we understand it's Him speaking to us, it always separates from our will. Our will is almost never involved in that, because the will has a counsel. I'm counseled in the middle of the night. Go get ice cream. There's a chocolate thing in there, and it's going to taste good. And your throat's a little dry, Todd, and you need to have that. You know? Well, that's a direction, I guess, but that's my will. I mean, it is. My will is to take that ice cream and eat it. Now, I am not allowed, that I think of anyway, to get addicted to any specific ice cream. It's just something that the Holy Spirit has kind of taught me because I had an issue with Klondike bars, as some of you guys know, years ago. Maybe you're struggling with a Klondike bar. I don't know. Maybe you've never had one, okay? So, you know, that's one thing. I know it's a kind of a weird illustration, but the will is never involved in the counsel of God. In fact, it's the opposite. God is teaching you not to consult your own will. And when you learn that, and it's a process and it takes time, you're able to maneuver through life a lot quicker, and you can walk in what it is called the peace of God. That peace beyond understanding. And when somebody sees that in your life, you know, our life is to reflect the image of God. And when people see trials or tribulations come your way, or an event, and you walk through in peace, that is a ministry. And they want to know, how are you doing this? How are you able to stand in the midst of loss? We've all had loss. How are you able to do it? And it's through this process that we have to realize that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Now, there's two ways the counsel comes, okay? Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 11. And I've used this scripture here many times, and we're going to keep coming back to it because a lot of people don't think of it this way. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Actually, let's just go to verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. This is speaking of Jesus. And it says here, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of counsel and might. Counsel is a spirit. It is an impartation. When you got born again, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of you may not be here. I want you to have that experience. We'd love to pray for you. But either way, when you got born again, there was an impartation. The Lord Himself, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus, came and became one with you. So there was an impartation where the spirit of counsel is already imparted into you. It is there. It's not something you got to go and pray and get it. You have it. You have imparted to you the spirit of counsel. So that's one way that you already have it. The other way is seeking it, to seek the counsel of the Lord. But a lot of times we don't know how to seek. I mean, we do pray and we do, you know, seek out maybe somebody else's wisdom, or maybe have they're saying something, but we may not necessarily know how to go about it. And that's why it's so important as your ministries grow to understand these things, so that when thing you need it, you know where to get it and how to get it. And so those are the two ways, to impartation and to seek it. Now, those three areas that I picked up: guidance, direction, and instruction. We're going to deal first with guidance in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I have to put bookmarks so I can get here quick enough. John chapter 16, verse 13. This is impartation. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into what? Into the truth. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, which he has come, he will guide you into all the truth. So where is he guiding? He's guiding into truth. This is the evidence of the Spirit of the living God manifesting inside of you. He is guiding you into truth. And truth is something that is discernment and gives understanding of any situation that you and I may walk in. Because the truth is something that this world is seeking right now. This country is seeking truth. Truth supersedes deception. It crushes it. It becomes inoperative. If it's in the arena of truth, when it's manifested, it has to leave. It can't stay. It's exposed. And so guidance always leads you and I in truth, that we might understand, that we might know, that we might hit the mark. These are the things that the Holy Spirit is leading you and I into. Now, I have another scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I love to jump around the Bible, don't you? There's things out there in the past and the future, and you know, that I like. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 22. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 32. That's page 679. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of, I have no idea how to say that word, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of his enemies, and he guided them on every side. Thus says the Lord, saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of those people in the kingdom of Assyria, and from the hand of all, not some, all of his enemies, and he guided them on every side. That is guiding. The guiding of the Lord is very important when you are confronting your enemies. Now, your enemies are unseen. Bible says that. We don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. So our enemies are unseen. You can't see your enemies. Have you ever had depression hit you? Have you ever been oppressed? Have you ever been tempted? I mean, all the things that the enemy throws at you and me. We are surrounded sometimes by our enemies, like this situation. Guidance will lead you. It says here that he guided them on every side. How did he guide them? He guided them into victory. He guided them so they were delivered. Guidance always brings deliverance. It is the earmark of God. It is when you know he is speaking to you, when you realize that you have real enemies, and enemies like to get right in your home. They like to go there every time. If they can divide, any house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's a word that the devil probably understands. So what does he try to do? He tries to divide. So when you see division, that is an earmark. That is identifying that you are being attacked. And sometimes you have to realize where the attack is coming and who is influenced by it. Because as we picked up in Job some time back, that when the God allowed the devil to attack Job, Job had control over people. He had control over weather. He had control over sickness. Now, we know that the Lord has authority over the devil, and that's sometimes a big lesson for us to learn. But the point is, that is identifying the attacks. And when you can identify the enemy is attacking to you, guess what? You can lean on the guidance of the Lord to not just protect you, but for you to win. Because the information comes into your spirit. It comes like in the forms of thought. But there has to be the expectation within you to understand that he will do it. And so when we're confronted with these things, the expectation should rise up inside of us that the guidance is going to come. I know he will guide me. I feel like I'm being surrounded by many things. Have you ever felt you were crazy at times? Am I the only one? Yeah, got one here. I mean, crazy in the sense that, you know, how am I going to get out of this one? How am I going to, you know, this is overwhelming. Now I can handle one trial, but 15 at once? But you have to understand, you have a call in your life. You have an anointing. And the enemy, all he wants to do is to neutralize your ministries. So he keeps scheming. He likes to go back in your past and find out how he tricked you one time. Or what's the biggest weapon he could form against you? And so he creates that weapon with who he controls and the elements that he has ability here. And it says he's a principality of the air. He's a god of this world. So he has some limited power. His wisdom is corrupted. He can't handle when Jesus starts moving through you. You have something so much powerful than him inside of you. But he doesn't want you to know how to use it. And he certainly doesn't want you allowed. He wants you to be guided by it. So he fears you. Don't fear him. And if you have fear inside of you, just know this. The scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. And so when fear hits me, what do I have to do? Check out what? My love walk. Who am I not loving? So that God will guide you out of your enemies. But I want you to understand, because in the times that we are living in the season that we're living, the attack is multi-sided. He's not coming at you directly. He's coming at you at all different sides at times. And so just be aware of that. That when you see it happening, the expectation must rise up inside you. He will guide me. He will lead me. Some of you are involved in businesses. Sometimes people go crazy at work. Sometimes people just get upset for no reason. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that go on. Some people are crooks. Some people are cheating. Some people aren't paying you what you should get. Right? You need a raise. You've worked hard. You deserve it. You've been faithful. Right? Prophesying to you. Amen. You got favor. So, guidance. Let's move to the next phase, direction. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. And then you go over to Ecclesiastic and you realize he did it all and figured it was all vanity. He said at the end of his life, just fear God. So, direction. Proverbs 16. There's many different scriptures on this, but the Lord was leading me to this. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. and makes them what? Sure, that's that word establish again. Now, in saying this, I don't really pick up the mind, okay? The man's mind, okay? Now, you got the mind of the flesh, but God says that we have the mind of Christ. And so you could really look at the scripture and that plan that comes in the mind of Christ that the Lord plants inside of you. Like, I get this a lot. This happens to me quite a bit. In fact, the reason why I'm here is the Lord put this in my mind to come to Chapin, to come to Prosperity, to come to Newbury. Those three cities, the Lord was drawing me to. I didn't know where the door was going to open, so I had to go out and knock. But the Lord put that into my spirit probably a year before I did it, at least. I didn't really understand what was going to happen. I didn't know a lot of things. I didn't know where I was going to be. But the Lord directed the steps. I mean, he used Alicia back there to cause me up because she knew I was in a place and said, you know, Roger has this house over there. The walls are knocked out. He wants a ministry to come out. And all of a sudden, see, that was a step. I had to step on Alicia to get there, in a sense. So I took a step. I talked with Roger. My son happened to go to this school. My son was a little rascal when he was real young. I mean, we had him in a couple schools, and I went to one school that he was at. There were like 15 people to one or something. The teacher was hard, and there were mixed up people in there, different problems. And I walk in there, and John goes, "That's my chair over there," and it was in the corner. And I'm like, and he was happy about, "That's my chair." I'm like, oh, gosh. So there was a step. Lord led us here. And it was really a little bit of a financial burden at the time, but my dad here, where is he? There he is. My dad steps in and goes, "We're going to cover that." I love my father-in-law. He's the best.
You better say that.
I did marry your daughter. But the point I'm trying to make is that there are steps. So God will put stuff in your ministries, into your mind. And then there's a step. I took a step. Alicia led out. And then our first meeting was going to be in the house. And we had metal chairs over there. And it was a little bit rough. And I went out and I bleached the whole outside and did some work in it because I just love Roger. He's just a wonderful man. And I said, "Roger," I said, "you know, how much, you know, want to bless you with this?" And, you know, he said, "How much is it?" He goes, "It's free." "Well, okay, well, what about the electricity?" "No." I go, "Okay, well, our first meeting was going to be over there. And so we're taking a step over there and they were doing a garage sale. They had all kinds of stuff there." And he said, "Hey, do you mind meeting in the gym?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine. You know, I come over here, we'll put out the metal chairs and we'll have a gym." And that, you know, that's another step. And so we got the metal chairs and, well, there was a church meeting here that had these church chairs. And I said, "Do you think they might let us use them?" I took a step. He calls them up. They said, "Sure." You see, I'm in a gym. I'm a coach. I like to train. I mean, do you see? This is what you have. This is what God is doing with you. He puts it into your mind, and then he gives the steps. And I had to step. I didn't know. The first meeting we had here was a tremendous storm that had. I don't know if any of you remember it. I mean, it was a bad storm. You remember that storm? And all the lights were out, and I got the word, "Lights are out in shape," and I go, "Great." And I said, I just thought, that's just the devil trying to stop it, but I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to take a step. So lights are out. As I pull up here, I get on the street, and the lights are on the street. Came in here. I didn't know who was going to show up. I had no idea. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, the lights are on, and some people came, and, you know, it was great. There was a step. And so in saying that, just know this, okay? It says in the Word, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So the Lord is giving you plans for your future. I know some of you are young. I know back in the road there, I know you guys are young. But the Lord's given you plans. He's sleeping. God's given him a dream. I had a home group once, and actually, you went to that home group years ago. There was a guy in there, and he had a vision of it. He was underneath a tree, and these coconuts were coming down and hitting him in the head. And actually, he was like moving this side, and the coconuts didn't hit him. He actually was dodging them. And God spoke to him in that dream, says, "You're dodging my word." I mean, you just never know how God's going to speak. Amen? God is so good. So let's move on here. Psalm chapter 119. Another direction. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now that word comes in two ways. That word can be a seed that's inside you that was imparted to you. It could be a rhema word. It could be a word that God just speaks to you. But you need to recognize what it is. It is a lamp. It is something that is turned on in your dark times. It is something that always will lead you out. Again, expectation is something that must be applied to all of your life. Those who expect and wait for the Lord shall change, they shall renew their strength, and they shall rise up as eagles. They won't be faint, they shall not weary. That's a word, weary. So the lamp comes on to your feet and the light to your path. Now, it's important sometimes to see your feet. You know, I'll never forget. This was kind of an unnatural thing, but I'll never forget. I was in my house, and I don't know if it was at night or down or what it was. I think it was at night, but anyway, I can't really remember. But anyway, I was sitting there, and I was kind of walking, but I didn't see what was going to be under my foot. And I took a step, and Hannah and John had this little car, and it had like a little gopher out of it, you know, it was like a little Flintstone car, and you push the little guy down and it would take off. And so I wasn't looking at my feet. So I took a step on that thing, and that little car took off, and all of a sudden my feet are here. I'm like, whoa, and I go bam right down on my back. It hurt. I wasn't hurt, but it hurt. I knew a little bit about falling, you know, spread your energy type thing. I just laughed at myself. No one saw this. This would have been really funny. I wish it would have had on video. But you have to sometimes look at where your feet are. Look at where your position is in your life. And that light comes. And it lights up your path, and you know where to place your feet in dark times. Again, expectations. Again, how does God communicate? Again, there's a solution to everything that you and I face. But more importantly, understand this. He is creating you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is bringing you into something and creating you. And he's creating you into what? His image. That's the goal. That's what you really want. Everyone in here wants perfection because we realize how imperfected we are. And so it's an internal drive. The Apostle Paul talked about that. He said, I press on to perfection to know the power outflowing from the resurrection. That power that Jesus was raised from, that power is never left. It's still here, and it's still in us. Amen. The last thing, instruction. So we have guidance, direction, and the third thing is instruction. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Every scripture is God-breathed. I mean, we're living in a time where this guy, his name's Sparky Goodrich. I think I've mentioned him quite times. He is an atheist. He says he's a recovering Christian, whatever that is. And he puts these posts up, and I strategically address him when the Lord is in my mouth. He doesn't defriend me for some reason. But he put something out that, you know, the Bible was written so many years after Jesus was risen and so forth. And so, you know, the thing is, we know that this is truth. But we need to understand that every scripture is what? It's God-breathed. It's not from man. People say, how in the world? Man wrote it. Well, you know what? I pick up a pen and it writes what I say to write. Right? I mean, do you ever write something that just does its own thing? If it does, we'll pray for you. So, you know, God picked up man and used him as his pen. As simple as I can make it. Amen? So this is God-breathed, okay? Given by his inspiration and profitable for what? Profitable for instruction, for reproof, and also conviction of sin. Have you ever read the Bible and felt the conviction? I mean, sometimes read a Bible, well, I got to put down, I got to do this. I can't get past that one thing, you know? But again, as I said before, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not, you're so bad. What you did is just, it's just unexcusable. And I just can't stand the way you were acting. And I'm just going to put you down. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He throws a light on it. But then he gives us the power to change and to do something about it. He gives us the instruction. He loves us. I mean, we do that with our children, do we not? You know, they mess up or whatever. I mean, you know, I love my son, and I mean, I love my daughter. And, you know, my daughter's learning to drive, and she's telling me what to do while she's driving. I love her, but I have to convict her. Oh, how long have you been driving? Oh, I know. You just started. Well, I've been driving for, I don't know how many years it is. Let's see, 65 minus 16. What is that? Oh, yeah, see, there's a mathematician right there. See, 52 years, is that what you said? Oh, okay, I thought you were answering you were deducting my math there. So, you know, I mean, sometimes we get convicted by reading it. But it is instruction, and that's why every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for instruction. This is something that is seeking. When you go into the scriptures, you're actually seeking. There is impartation, but there's also seeking. And so the scriptures is one way to seek out your guidance. So it's profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience. I love this. And for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to what? To God's will, in thought, in purpose, and action. There we see guidance being brought out again. And so that's so cool to see that the scripture will give us guidance and instruction comes out of it because we want that. We want to be instructed how to follow him, instructed how to conform him, instructed to just have the knowledge to know him. Instruction is something that's a river that's continuously flowing at you and me, and we can bathe in that stuff. You ever been really dirty and you need a bath? I mowed the lawn the other day. I was, you know, in this heater, whatever. I could have waited. I could have just stunk for a while. I could have not taken a bath for a few days until people noticed. You know, maybe I just had a little attitude. Maybe I'm just going to stink. You know, I mean, sometimes I just, you know, just wallow in the results of me working and sweating. See, working and sweating doesn't bring the presence of God. I thought that was a cat. My cat likes to fight. Fighting last night. I had to go out and discipline my cat. And this other cat comes in the garage and, you know, it beats it up there. It's this black and white cat. I want to catch it. I want to beat it with a broom. Is that wrong? I think it is. Pray for me. Now, I'm going to get it one time. I laid a trap out for the last feral cat. I was lay a trap out for this, and I found out there was actually somebody's cat and went a feral cat. And I think it's the neighbors down the street. And I like to brag about how I take cats and get them out of there. I could just see taking that cat down to Charleston and having a conversation. Hey, I just want you to know I got that feral cat out here. And so, I walk out where the cat got out of my garage, and then I open up the garage and I make sure he's out of there. And of course, Charlie's real brave then. He comes out with me, like that, like he's got the cat, because I'm out there with him. And I say, get back in there. And what does he do? Hisses at me, what's the deal here? I'm trying to rescue you. I'm sorry, that was kind of a rabbit trail there. Pray for me. I need instruction. So, last scripture, 1 John. 1 John. So, there's seeking and there's impartation. Remember what I said to you earlier. You already have guidance. You have counsel already inside. You have the wonderful counsel, the Prince of Peace. He has been imparted to you, so you got it. You have it. So, this brings it into focus. Verse 27, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides permanently in you, so that you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as an anointing teaches you concerning what? Everything. Not some things. Everything. Again, that expectation that you do have the anointing, that expectation, he will teach you concerning anything and everything that pertains to your life. It says concerning everything. And is what? And is true. There's truth again. And there is no falsehood. So you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, what? Just as his anointing has taught you to do. So that is instruction. You need to identify what the anointing is teaching you to do. It is to abide in him, to be knitted to him. Identify it. And so this becomes so clear, and I hope that you leave here tonight understanding the counsel of God and how it operates. Because it's got to be more. We've got to bring messages that are more than just talk about. We've got to give the mechanics to the body of Christ so that when you walk out of here, you know what to do. And this is all taped. You can go back on and listen to it again until you're tired of my voice. So, just know that you've got to have the mechanics. It's so much more than just, hearing about it. So I was so frustrated a lot of times in my life, when I would attend church and I'd hear such a good word and I'd walk out and have no earthly idea how to apply it. It would be like me sitting there and talk about diving and watch me dive. But never, and people giving them everything about diving, but they never do it. I never will let them practice. You see what I'm saying? So you've got some good information here, and I just hope, and I probably need to even go further with it, but it's so important that you leave here tonight and understand and expect the guidance of God in everything that you're facing right now. But mostly importantly, he is developing your ministries because he wants to conform you to his image. He wants to reward you. When you stand before him, when you pass, you get that thing. He says, did you complete your mission on this earth? Become mission-minded. And when he asked you that, you can answer him, yes, I fought the good fight of faith. Or he just gives an assessment and says, yes, you did complete your mission. Yes, you found out your mission. Yes, you received my guidance. Yes, I established your steps. And yes, I know you. And it's the best times in our lives to know him. Amen. God is so good. You know, Stephanie, there was a time when Elijah, he just ran out of juice. He was just out of juice. He just got done lopping off the heads of how many prophets of Baal? Was it 300, Lewis? It was 400. My math guy's here. There were 400. He's got done doing this, lopping off of the heads. You know, just did tremendous things. And then all of a sudden, man, he just ran out of juice. I think he just wanted to go. I think that he said, did he want to die? Was that it? He wanted to just die? I mean, you know, after this great thing, all of a sudden he wanted to die. And the Lord sent ravens to him to give him a special diet. Times of refreshing are coming to be poured onto you. And in your night season, you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, God has refreshed me. I can go 40 more miles now. He wants to juice up your tank. You're in his perfect will. He loves you so much. He has developed you and seasoned you to a point where people that just know you, just they feel love just oozing out of you. But he knows where you are, and he knows your insides, and he knows you're out of juice. So he's going to fill you with oil. He's going to give you strength, and he's going to bring encouragement in your night seasons. Why? Because it's when your flesh is at its lowest. He can communicate to you and give you understanding and give you peace. Because one of the things that you just have not understood yet is timing. The timing. And you're going to hear the timing and the reasons and how it was perfect. And your love goes on into eternity. And it wasn't hard for you at all. You know, certain people can't walk out love for long distances. And this is why you're in his perfect will, because you did it. And it will go on and on. It's your testimony. So just receive tonight. And I'm so glad, I'm so happy in the Holy Spirit that I'm able to deliver this to you, because you deserve it. Amen? Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Is he not good? I don't think I've ever seen you before, have I? Have you been here before? I didn't think so. You look familiar to me, but I haven't met you before. Amen? God is so good. You know, we all need encouragement at times. But the enemy would box you in to try to keep your ministry of encouragement at bay. Amen? And so he tries to mess us up and sometimes bring sorrow or oppression or like that, or tries to get our mind off, we say in baseball, get your eye off the ball. And that's really what this is all about. That's why this has come. But he's not going to be successful. Because your ministry of encouragement, and you know this to be true, you have encouraged people that were down, and you encouraged them in the midst of your storm. In the middle of your storm. That light shined through. The power of God has been demonstrated through you time and time and time again. You say, Lord, when are these storms going to stop? It just seems like a hurricane, then this and that and this and that. But like I said earlier, count it all joy, because there's something being developed in you. This race is a race of endurance, and that is what the Holy Spirit is imparting into you, endurance. Just run through it. This soon shall pass. Amen. You're going to get out on the other side of that. And it says, don't fling away your confidence, which has great reward. For after you've done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised to you. And that very word promise is in a seed that's been inside of you. It's your prayer. It's what you put before him. There's a promise, which really is an expectation. And that must require faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not yet seen. Some scripture says the conviction, strong conviction of things not seen. And that is what's going to flip in you tonight. When you walk out that door, strong conviction is going to come to you. This is a personal word to you from the very throne room of God. That's how much He loves you. He brought you here tonight for that reason. This is your timing. And you can walk out here and say, man, how in the world that guy could, no way he could know that. There's no way that had to come from the throne room. And that's absolutely right. You know why? Because He loves you. And I can tell He loves you because it's flowing right through me, and I sense it. I feel it. Amen? And He's drying up your tears. No longer will you cry on your bed. Amen? You will cry in prayer out of intercession for the one that is lost. He is going to turn your mourning into dancing. He misses your dance. He misses your singing. Is God in the house? That's Jesus. He is the head of His church. He has free reign here. We just need to get out of the way. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I think we're good. I think we're done. Lewis, do you have anything? Patty, or do you have anything? Or?
Actually, I do.
That will come right up here, sir.
You remember Robbie Phillips?
I do.
Robbie Phillips was a dear brother in the Columbia area, a prophet, one of the early prophets in the Columbia area. He went to Bob Jones University. He was a graduate of Bob Jones. He told me a story I never forgot, and the Lord put it on my heart tonight. It was that the first book Bob Jones wrote, he was telling his class, and Robbie was recounting this. He said, how do you have time to write a book? And Robbie said, Bob Jones' response to that was, I carry it with me everywhere I go. And if I have 15 minutes on a bus, I do it. If I have 30 minutes in the back of the car, if I'm on an airplane, then I just carry it with me. It took him a year and a half to write his first book. And brother, I was sitting back there, and the Lord said, there's a book inside of you. And it's time for you to begin to consider how to present yourself to begin to write a book. I don't know if you've ever written a book. I've never asked you. But I believe as I was sitting there, the Lord was saying, it's inside of Todd. The book is there. And just as Bob Jones, and this is where the memory comes, just as Bob Jones carried his book in process with him wherever he went, and he took the 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Brother, I believe the Lord wants me to say to you tonight, Brother Todd, there's a book inside of you, or many books, and it's time in the season that you're starting to get into in this fall and even on to the next year. I believe the Lord is saying, consider the timing of the Lord. The book that's inside of you, or the books, are beginning to formulate, and it's time for you to consider writing what the Lord is putting and what you're speaking. And God is putting together within you a book or multiple books. This is the season to begin to consider that, said the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I receive that. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you need prayer tonight. Some of you, there's still words here. I'm going to stay up here. We've got other giftings that are here. If you feel led to come up, just go ahead and come up. I think I've got something for the cougar here. Yeah, that's you. Is that a cougar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's called a cougar. Yes, sir. Oh, Patty, come on up. Sorry. I just love this sister here, by the way. I know she has a good friend called Marianne Brown. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes these mantles just transfer. And it is on you. Amen? So I just want to encourage you.
Okay.
All right? I don't have to encourage you because you got good encouragement. I just had to say that. I mean, even the you look, there's an anointing on you that is an image that's presenting. Now, we all conform to the image of Jesus. But the Lord told me to tell you that for some reason. So I delivered. Amen.
I told Ralph that some of y'all got dreams that you let go.
sit down, and they didn't come to pass, you just let them go. And the Lord says, dream again. You need to dream again. You need to pick up that anything you wanted to do, whether it be a business, whether it be a relationship, you need to do it. You need to stop sitting on these dreams because they're God-given. They're God-breathed. I've sat on a lot of stuff. I used to want to have an ice cream store called Inside Scoop. Inside Scoop, and we had this big spoon and big, you know. It sounds silly, but it's something I always wanted to do, but I never pushed through. But there are things that y'all have that God's given you that you need to do now. You need to stop pushing it aside and saying, maybe that will happen. It's going to happen if you'll put your feet to it. And I need to tell y'all something. Something y'all been pushing for, is going to happen. Something's going to turn around in your situation, whatever it is, and God's fixing to do it. Because you put your hands to something, you believe for something, and you haven't seen it happen yet. And God says you're right on the brink of seeing it happen. Right on the brink of seeing God do what He's told you He's going to do.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thank you, Theoka. Amen. So we like I said, we're going to stay here, and if you feel like you need prayer or feel like a word might come to you, well, a word is going to come to you. If anybody comes here to pray, you're going to get a word. That's just the way it is, because He's here. Amen. And it's always good to get that, you know, that personal message. I want to thank everybody. I mean, we don't take offerings or anything like that, but we've got some money set away to get some speakers and stuff like that. I'm leaving for South Africa on the 12th. I'm going there for, I call it a mission trip, but Peter Van Niekerk that was here is invited me over, and I've been going for 9 years, I think more than that, but the Lord does some tremendous things over there. So I just appreciate your help. I thank you so much. You know, it's enabling us to be able to do some things, and I just wanted to say thank you for that. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here in this room tonight. Jesus, you're the head of the church. You know, in my heart, in many hearts here, what we're believing for. Lord, we need to be filled up with your Holy Spirit with boldness, that we might speak your word in boldness. And just whatever the timing is, Holy Spirit, whatever the timing is, Jesus, that we desire to come to this place and experience what they experienced in Acts, or even beyond that, Lord. And sometimes we look back and, you know, think that the church back then was in its maturing point, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe we're entering into it. Maybe it's been going on all around and we just never, different parts of the planet, we haven't seen it. Only you know, Lord. But Lord, we agree together. I just ask that this room tonight, those that would agree with me, Lord, and come into agreement, Lord, that we would experience that in this place, Lord, and that it would spread, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to draw the pastors in this area, Lord God, that you would draw them to hear, Lord, that they may see and understand and see the new move of God, their roles, their positions, and how they're to raise up ministers in their congregation, how they're to utilize the giftings that are in, the fivefold giftings that are within them, the different worships that are within them, Lord. And Lord, that they would be motivated and encouraged and instructed to send out like you sent out the 70. Lord, we thank you for everything again you've done here tonight. We give you all the glory. All the glory, all the thanks. We worship you, the great things that you do. And we thank you most importantly, we thank you for your love, because we feel your love, not just outside, but inside. So I thank you for that manifestation within all of us right now, that you would rise up within us, that internally we would experience the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll still be recorded. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're dismissing, so if somebody comes up, I just want to make sure it gets on tape. And we have a website. It's TGOSC.com, the Gathering of South Carolina, .com. Just use the first letters. I don't know why I have a hard time saying that. I think maybe we'll have like a banner at some point that has it on it. And if you are new here, we have a sign-up sheet. All you got to do is put your phone number on it. We just send a text out just to remind you. I won't be bothering you at midnight or whatever in the morning. I've had those thoughts, but I haven't done it. So just a reminder, just a way to keep in touch. And we've got some things coming up, I think, possibly in November. We've had Danny Stain here. I think we're going to have him back and possibly have Ron Campbell come from Texas. And then utilize the people that we have here, and we've actually got more room in this gym. Raise a curtain, and we got chairs, and we're just be in prayer about that. Amen. I think that's something that I think we're supposed to do, and I think it's going to be something where it's maybe a Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning will probably be to teach people how to move in the gifts, and then do a Saturday night. And so just be in prayer about that. I feel in my mind, I've been given a plan, but the Lord has to step it out. Amen? God's so good. God bless you. See you next week. Come on up here. Amen. I'm Todd.
I'm Judah.
Nice to meet you, Judah. Oh my gosh, Lion of Judah. No wonder you got that on. Amen? God is so good. Amen. God's so good. Lord, I just thank you for my brother. What a blessing he is, Lord. God is so good. God is so good. As I put my hand on you, that word revival came to me. Revival fire. And the fire that I believe that God is lighting inside of you, it's like there was a time in my life where God just gave me a hunger for his word. I just kept dissecting the Bible and reading it. I just had to know this and know that and know this and know that. God is going to give you a real hunger for his word. Now, you may be in the word already, but this is going to just illuminate you and cause you to be absolutely on fire. God says, forget the past. As the enemy is trying to hook you and trying to get you to think about maybe things that have happened or, you know, whatever it might be. But God says, put your hand to the plow and look forward. Okay? Because there's a lot of stuff that's coming your way. There's a prophetic mantle that God is going to place upon your life. And this prophetic mantle that God is going to upon you, he's going to give you information. It's called the words of knowledge. And they're going to flow through your mind. Where you get around people and you're just going to know things about them. Or you're in a situation where you're helping somebody or even counseling somebody, and the words are going to come out of your mouth. They're going to be quickened of the Lord. It's going to reach right to the heart of the matter of people's problems. And the people in the ministry that I see you being sent to are people that are having mind issues. There may be addictions involved. It's maybe they're living a lifestyle of the weekend, you know, and how that goes, you know, when you're young and, you know, the partying or whatever, you know, everybody goes through those phases, I think. But, you know, there's a special assignment for you in those arenas. You know, it's something that you couldn't quite walk all the way in that arena. You know what I mean? You know you're different.
Right.
It's like you can't fit in completely. And that's okay. Because God wants you to minister, but not necessarily fit in. And that part that's different is really important to develop. You're not weird. I don't know why God told me to tell you, you're not weird, okay? All right? You don't have to think. I mean, see, the enemy is so crafty. He always tries to throw stuff at us, you know? You know, it's okay to be different, okay? God created you. You're an individual, and you're unique, okay? Now, I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you're seeking a wife or whatever it is, you know, that type thing. But just know this, that God has somebody for you. And, you know, and you know, you're being prepared, you know, for that individual. I don't know if you met them yet or whatever, or that individual is being prepared for you. So you can have confidence in that, okay? So I just want to encourage you. You can have confidence in that. He sees, he knows, amen? He put desires in all of us, amen? And in their, you know, children and things like that, you know, and all kinds of wonderful things that are ahead of you, okay? So just know this, you know, God's hand is on you in a mighty way. That prophetic mantle is going to become very clear to you. The hunger of his word, yield to that. Yield to it. And he's going to take you to fascinating places, Book of Revelation, you know. You're going to look into how Jesus actually talked to people, how he ministered, the power that was outflowing from him. When did the power move most greatly, and when didn't it move because of people that just didn't believe, okay? God's going to take you on a journey. Lord, I thank you for my brother, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to fill him up now to overflowing with your Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You'll be an arrow in my hand. I'm making you a polished arrow. You'll be used as a weapon of war. I'm putting you in my quiver and I'm training you now, but I will pull you out and I will draw back and I will shoot you. And you will hit the mark every time.
That's right.
Because you are an arrow in my hand. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. That's so good. Thank you, brother.